Okay, at this time I'll call the meeting to order. Approval of minutes, February 5th, 2020.
Read and motion to approve.
I'll second.
Okay, any discussion? Any changes? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, unanimous. Thank you. Next on the agenda is public forum. Is there anyone who'd like to speak on a subject that's not on our agenda tonight?
Mark.
Okay, if you'd please come forward one at a time and state your name and address, please.
Mark Rillard, 159 Helmut Street, Ashland, Oregon. I want to start off by saying thank you to Commissioners Emery and Swink. The 128 Central project is almost finished and looks great. We're really, really excited about all the TSS you guys did with it. Also, Commissioner Shortstrom, thank you for North Laurel. I don't see him here today. Because North Laurel is coming out great, we just wish they were. I'll just get what you're supposed to do. We just wish the rest of the North Laurel building looked like the main one that is finished building, because the other buildings just now don't kind of fit in very well. But still, thank you very much for getting that project pushed forward. It looks great. Also, thank you to Chair Shorman and Ms. Hovenkamp for the letter you wrote to the city. I wish it was a little bit more meaner than that. But we're already polarized as it is right now in the society, and that's a very polarizing issue right now, the City Hall. And so thank you guys for that letter we wrote there. One little thing I couldn't quite pick up on the audio because I was here last month. What happened on the appeal for 145 Main Street? Because I was hoping that they could put the doors in, and it sounds like it came down to a door versus freeze.
So can you refresh our memory what 145?
It's the one that's right over here that used to be Henry's Automotive.
Oh, okay.
And it came Hans, my old motor.
Yeah, and it came down to the freeze.
Right.
And I understand the principle of having the larger door openings, and I think that was the buying point on it. But I can't hear it in the audio.
Larger door openings, meaning what?
He wanted to put taller doors in, the roll-up doors, than that were there.
Uh-huh.
And that came across the freeze part at the top. I think that's what stopped it.
That wasn't what stopped it, but that was one of our conditions.
Okay.
That band go back in there at that height. And then he needed to reframe the roof that was over the entrance that was had a little shed roof toward the front, and so they're going to submit plans to recreate that. They went to the City Council to appeal our recommendation to use stucco or horizontal siding, and the council agreed that they could go ahead and use board and bat. So that's what we know at this point. We haven't had a submission yet of the
planning commission.
Was it Planning Commission or was it? Oh, it's Planning Commission. Excuse me.
Well, I'll wait to see how it happens. Oh, thank you very much for your time and information.
Great.
Thank you guys on those projects. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
Fuel discussion right outside of the city limits. This might not be too kosher. But the City Hall, and I watched all that, I'm starting to mouth off because I'm running for community development director, and I wanted to let you know. And now we got this carbon thing, and is that real? Yeah, I'm afraid it is. It's really an emergency. So, they're talking about City Hall and building a whole brand new one, just like this building up here on the other side of the...
Did you hear last night's council meeting?
No, I haven't. Not all of it, no.
So the decision last night was to leave the building as is and remodel the insides.
Right.
The exterior is going to remain.
Was that fine? Oh, yeah, but it has to have the bond passed?
Yes.
The word is that that's not going to pass. Okay, it might. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But here's what I'm thinking, is that zero net energy homes aren't just historic. I grew up with a historic Craftsman in a beautiful old neighborhood, and the windows aren't historic, and the awnings aren't historic, et cetera, et cetera. And that house up there is not historic, so I think people hate that fact. So here's what I'm saying. We have an emergency on the planet Earth. It's a carbon problem, and whenever historic is wood and coal and gas. So it's just something to think about. I just recently have figured out that historic might have to play second fiddle to solving climate change. Maybe that's just a thought.
Thanks, Phil. Council liaison is next. We're going to move that later in the agenda. So we're going to invite it right to the planning action. Planning action PAT1 2020-00089, a request for a conditional use permit to authorize an increase in maximum permitted floor area for the addition of a new art dance studio and additional habitable space in the upstairs unit. The property is currently developed with an 1,800 square foot duplex, and the proposed development includes 320 feet upstairs and 553 downstairs for a total of 2,598 square feet. The property allows for a maximum permitted floor area of 2,256 feet, which would require an authorization of 15% increase in the maximum permitted floor area. In addition to the approval criteria, the conditional use permit, the criteria for historic design standards approval must be met. The application also includes the request to remove a single large tree from the backyard due to its proximity to the proposed construction. Are there any commissioners who have had any ex parte communications or conflict of interest in this project? Okay. And can I see a show of hands for site visit? Okay. All right. Staff report, please.
Yeah, not much for the staff report. Basically, the proposal is to take what's now the carport and replace it with habitable space. So the carport is going to come down. It's going to be replaced with habitable space. The reason that's significant is I think that side yard setback is just under 6 feet, and they're going to make it meet code and bring it to 6 feet. And then above that, they're doing a 232-square-foot addition, again, more habitable space for the one side of the duplex, and then a deck for the remainder of the top of that carport converted to living space. There is a tree removal in the rear yard. I believe it's a box elder, about 12 inches diameter and breast height. I think the notice, the language in the notice, probably is maybe miscommunicating what the proposal is, because it described it as a dance studio. It's not for any kind of commercial purposes. It's just for the owner's space, like if you were going to have an art studio or a workout room. The intention is not to use it, according to the applicant, as any kind of classroom or having people come to the site. So I think that language, in retrospect, we realized that was, I think people thought it was going to be like an outside enterprise, and that was troublesome. Really, that's it. It's in front of you because it needs a conditional use permit to expand it above maximum permitted floor area. And the owner applicant couldn't be here tonight. Apparently, her father passed away and she had to go out of town. So, just so you know, that's why that person isn't here.
So, the parking requirements for duplex, seems like there's more than required, less than the requirement there.
Yeah, and that, that's not something that really has to change. It's non-conforming. I think it was built in 1978.
Okay.
So it's still staying two units, and the bedroom size isn't changing, so they don't have to add more parking.
But it appears that the upper story level has a room addition that could be a bedroom.
Yeah, that's our understanding, that it's not for a bedroom, that it's, it's more like a
library?
Yeah, office, yeah.
So. And then so it's a duplex that's a rentable unit. Is the owner a occupant there?
That's my understanding, yes. And that's this that person's having a duplex.
And that person what?
Where the expansion is I think where the owner lives.
The downstairs, so the owner will live downstairs and use the studio?
No, the downstairs is for the owner, as I understand it, but it's not a separate dwelling unit. It's just heated, habitable space. But it,
okay. Yeah. Would it make a difference if the owner lived off-site and used that space?
No.
Okay.
Well, they could. Yeah, they couldn't use it if they didn't live there.
They couldn't?
Well, I mean, not. I guess it depends on how they use it, but not.
It was obviously they can't use it for commercial.
Yeah.
So they have 10 friends come over and
have a party there.
Well, or do a dance or exercise together. Or.
No.
I'm just wondering if it'll create more, traffic.
Yeah. No. They. I mean, it's a gray area. If someone has an occasional gathering, it's like anybody else who has a social gathering at their house. But if it was a regular occurrence, no, then it would either, you in a residential zone, you have to get a conditional use permit for a school or a classroom.
Uh-huh.
So they'd have to go through that process, and then we would look at trips and parking and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Number of vehicle trips coming and going. But they're not requesting that.
So because the owner's not here, I'll just ask you if you know. Is the upper story appears to be a bedroom size, and it has a closet. It appears to be. I think the plans are so incomplete, it's really difficult to tell what's going on. But it shows no door except for off the deck.
Yeah.
And it seems like if that was part of the duplex upstairs, it would have a door that came into it from inside.
I think we assumed that was a poor drafting error, but we can. Confirm that.
Okay. All right. Are there any other questions of staff?
I have a question. Maybe I missed something, but when it says description, it says after the part where art/dance studio and additional habitable, mm-hmm. that word, living
mm-hmm.
space to the upstairs unit.
Mm-hmm.
So doesn't that say right there that they're going to add?
Habitable doesn't mean, it could be a library. It appears that there's a closet, and that's usually a definition of the building department from a bedroom?
I thought habitable meant.
Habitable is probably just heated. It could be a library.
Heated?
It could be
is
a dining room.
It
could be a.
Okay, space. So it means it's not cold, freezing, someone could go and use it.
Right.
Okay.
I should have pointed out in the picture, I think it's the third photo in the packet, this is the tree, that's the Historic Commission's purview, but that's the tree that's proposed for removal, and the Tree Commission will be looking at that issue tomorrow night.
Okay. All right. Any other questions, Steph? So we don't have an owner here or an applicant, so it makes it a little more difficult, but we'll open it up to public hearing, and if you'll come up, are you all together or individually?
Yeah,
or?
We're together.
Okay.
Do you want to stay there?
Okay.
You're welcome to stay there.
I'm going
to
stay there.
Yeah. I was going by what we had here.
So if you also state your name and address, please.
Here is Rick Peasley.
Okay.
840 C Street.
Okay.
It got confusing because a lot of issues weren't addressed in the notice that we got that was just given. And the major issue was the dance studio. The lady who's the applicant, if you look on the internet, teaches tango dancing, and the classes go from 8 to 11 on weekends and goes from 7 to 8 p.m. So that's what she does for a living. And that worries me because when the staff here, they had nothing discussed about what that dance studio was to be at all. And that changes it from a residential R2 to a more commercial. And if that's the case, it changes everything the way you look at it.
Right.
And that would add for traffic because if you notice, I guess coffee roasters. Coffee roasters, the traffic comes down from Coffee Roasters to C Street, off of 8th Street. If she did something like that, the traffic now is going to go down 7th Street and then go sideways on C Street. It's just going to add to a situation. I discussed it in the paper that I gave you. So the big issue is that if there's going to be a dance studio there, it's listed as a dance studio, it either has to be not permitted because it's now commercial and not residential, or there has to be some conditions on it, such as no commercial use in any manner whatsoever. Because I think with her background of being a dance instructor, and you can just jump on the internet under your name and you'll see it all through Ashland, it's going to then create sound, noise, extra traffic, glares. We have the property right behind this one at 840 C Street. There's a fence between us and them. And that's just going to add tremendous noise and such. It's going to be discussed tomorrow, but if you take a look at the pictures, that tree does not have to be removed for the addition they want to do. The tree is behind the existing duplex. It's not behind the area they want to change. The issues that I just mentioned have been set forth here, and I think that the criteria for getting a CUP does not exist. There's enough problems with the property and the glare, the traffic, the noise, the changing of the residential neighborhood and impact on them, so it would not be possible.
But that's not what she wants, right?
We don't know what she wants because the report that was given by the staff, at least in the notice of application, mentions nothing. Mm-hmm. Mentions nothing. It just says art dance studio. And in my mind, if it passes on a dance studio, she can then have her classes every night, every day, with the music and such, which is not proper. So I think that the way it's done, there either has to be a rejection of it or there has to be the conditions on it that make it such that you cannot do a commercial enterprise, period.
I have a question. Staff, do you need a home occupation permit?
You can get a home occupation permit, but it doesn't work for, dance classes because you can only have one per customer at a time. So the owner might in the future be able to get a home occupation permit and have one person at a time, no more than 7 per day.
But you can only have one person, at a time there to dance?
We don't regulate what they could do dance, yes.
Could
do dance. You could have a one-on-one session, no more than 7 a day. People do it for a range of things, like accountants. I mean, sometimes people do it who don't even have customers, So she could use the same space, say, if she was, an accountant or some kind of consultant or whatever. So home occupations cover a wide range of commercial uses.
So is your estimation that what is being proposed here, as described by the gentleman, would be proper as a home occupation?
I think she could probably get a home occupation permit, but again, she couldn't have classes, and it has to be only one person at a time.
But it takes two to tango.
Oh, very good.
Isn't that right?
It did. Somebody has to have a sense of humor.
But as far as having classes where you had multiple students, no, you couldn't do that as a home occupation.
So did she just purchase the property?
It was for sale, so I assume she did.
So she hasn't been your neighbor in the past?
No.
She's had a sign there. The sign came down. It may be contingent upon something happening here, or she purchased it. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. It was for sale for like several months.
So I assume when you make a planning action, you need to be the owner to do that?
You can have the owner sign the application.
And she did that.
You don't have to be the owner, no.
Okay.
But I'm not quite sure why it would be a necessity to have it. She could get the permission to do what she's doing without getting the permission for a dance art studio.
Right.
So I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
I think the art dance studio should be denied. If she wants to try to do something in addition in that area, then she should come back and request something else. or there has to be conditions that limit it, in my mind, away from commercial in any way whatsoever.
Right. So would she, so it would be a violation of code at some point if she started having dance classes, and then that's something that they would deal with when it happens. It's not a condition that we would add or the planning department.
So in the decision, we would make it clear that it couldn't be used that way.
Okay.
In the, if it's approved, that's what we would do.
Okay.
And we probably, that's probably the most we can do at this point. I know that it's described that way, but in sort of the code's eyes, it's not any different than somebody that was taking a non-heated space and turning it into an office, or some people do that all the time in Ashland. It just happens to come under a planning approval at this point because of the maximum permitted floor area.
Right.
So,
if she had 7 customers coming, 7 separated by 7 hours, is that a possibility? If she had just one person?
Yes. She can do that.
Yeah.
How do you arbitrate a problem where you've been told one thing and the neighbors have some evidence online that something else is possibly going on? I mean, how do you resolve that?
We can't assume that somebody's going to use it in a way that doesn't meet the code until they
do some bad acts.
So but a neighbor would go to a compliance officer and make a complaint.
Yeah, and
if
so
it found to be true, then
that seems unnecessary. Am I understanding you to say that the planning commission could have the authority to require that this not be a studio for dance classes? That's what I heard you to say.
It's a residential structure. The proposal is to expand the residence's habitable space. It's not. It would not be approved for any kind of classroom use or commercial use.
We put a condition of approval saying that the application has to perform to the home occupation requirements.
Well,
one person, whatever.
I mean, at this point, my understanding is the applicant hasn't indicated that they even want to do that. That it's purely for personal use. So,
if that's the case, why would you even need a conditional use permit for a dance studio?
Because she's asking for something that's over the permitted floor area for the zone. In the historic districts, the size of a building has been reduced relative to the size of a lot.
The regulations state that if they're asking for something such as this dance studio, conditions can be placed upon it, like this cannot be used for a commercial in any way whatsoever. And the council here can do that.
Well, what I was saying is they put a condition saying that it would have to meet the requirements of a home occupation.
I don't think we need that.
There's a big difference between a dance studio and an office.
She's only dancing with one person.
You might want to finish the public testimony and close the public hearing and then have the deliberations.
Okay. Okay. So do you guys have any more comments? We hear
not
what you
tonight,
say.
But tomorrow is the tree, right?
Okay, yeah. Okay.
So thank
you for your testimony. Appreciate it. So we'll close the public part of the hearing and have a discussion. So, Maria, did I hear you say earlier that the planner that's working on this might mention that in the findings because it's been brought up, or would it not even be mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, usually we go through when there's a concern like this and say, you know, it was raised at the Historic Commission meeting in the public testimony.
Okay.
You know, the concern is that it might be used for commercial use. The, you know, and then explain that it's not allowed in the code as a commercial use and why.
Okay.
And that would be captured in the decision.
Okay.
And I think that we would, I mean, again, this is the comment period,
sure.
So we haven't made the decision, but
right.
That I'm sure if it goes forward would be part of that.
Yeah. That's not
you don't have to leave.
Well, that's okay.
Okay.
So thank you for raising it, and I think that's the answer there. Okay. Thank you. So that's not under our purview, but they raised it here. So Terry and I, you know, looked at it and took pictures, and we're concerned about. Well, usually when we go over a maximum permitted floor area, we ask that the applicant really make sure and maybe go the extra yard to make it historic compatible. This building was built in 1978. It's
anything but historic.
Yeah.
But it is historic, and then it's 50 years old. So, no, it is almost 42 years old. So we have to wait 3 more years. But so it's a fairly contemporary building. The back of it, you might have noticed, is T111 plywood. The front half of it is horizontal 5-inch siding, which looks a little bit more historic. And that's about as close as it gets to historic. The other thing we were thinking that is that the small addition upstairs is surrounded by a deck, and it's like 6 to 8 feet all the way around, and which feels a little bit out of place in a residential area. You know, if who would ever use that much deck, you know, area and segment it into 3 areas? So it's like you'd have to have a pretty big party. My thought was, why wouldn't you put a roof over it? It would be cheaper to roof it, and maybe put a deck in the back where it came out of the bedroom or whatever that room is, rather than have rails that go well across the front and all the way down the side.
If they put a roof over it, though, the problem is that they're expanding their floor area.
But
so anything over 7 feet in height with a roof on it is further expanding that floor area.
No, I'm just talking about over the deck.
Okay.
It's only, you know, it's 4 and 12 pitch. The deck's about 6 feet. It would be about, I mean, it's about 6 or 8 feet.
But that's still expanding the...
Well, that's just roof. That's just roof area.
Yeah, it's just in this area here. That's
I know, but it's still...
If you put a hip on it, something like that, or
but,
even just
but
a deck.
But it's still expanding the...
It's not over 4 feet. It's not living space.
Well, porches are included in the maximum permitted floor area. If it has a roof on it.
I'm not talking about a roof. I'm talking about eliminating the deck and putting
a
low roof.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. I misunderstood
you.
I thought put a roof over the deck itself.
Yeah.
And I agree that that would look better. It's, you know, the and also those decks are a nightmare to build.
It's a way cheaper solution and a better look. So I'm a little disappointed in the quality of the plans because we can't really tell that, and we can't talk to the owner or the designer, and they're obviously two different people.
Yeah, right, and there's no notes on the finishes at all.
Right.
And we have no idea.
And the plans are, you know, have no detail on the elevations.
Yeah, is the scale of it, is it kind of out of scale?
I think the scale is fairly close, you know, but, you know, what they show in the front of the building is a horizontal 4-inch siding with no windows, and of course it has this pooped out bay window and
I don't mean scale as a drawing, but just in scale it's kind of massive.
They leave it
kind of large.
Well, because it's set back and the deck is, I mean, the roof is there over the carport. So if you put a roof on top of that butted up against this other addition, that would minimize the non-historic value of it and, you know, simplify the look. Anybody else have thoughts about that?
Question, where are they going to park the cars?
There's
it says
a
it here, on the street on 7th and C.
Yeah, I think that's a problem.
Well,
yeah,
it's an existing condition, so that's not an issue. And they can stack them if they want, even though they don't get credit for it.
Well, I mean, that's how we know.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Now, when they go over the allowable floor area, isn't that kind of something special about it to grant them more space?
Yeah, and so I'm thinking from a design standpoint, instead of having, you know, 60 feet of handrails around the whole upper story to put a roof on it, would downplay the size of the rails and minimize the addition in terms of sticking out.
So it's not, in a sense, non-compatible with that railing, kind of very distractive.
Right. So we could suggest, but we can't dictate the design, I would imagine. Like we can't tell them.
Yeah, it's all a recommendation. It's up to staff.
Well, it's actually a recommendation to the planning commission or staff that we feel like a roof as opposed to handrails around the building would be more historically compatible. And that would be our recommendation to let them have the extra floor area permitted for beyond the maximum permitted floor area.
There is that historic district design standard about roof shapes. So I think you could connect it to that. Say you don't think the proposed design meets the standard on
flat roofs don't meet the design. Pitch wood. They could still have a deck in the back where they now show the door. There's no point to have a deck around three sides of a building when, you know, it only has access from the back and I assume from the interior.
Have the window here.
Or they put it on the side.
Yeah, but that way, it's like where you'd have to run. If you're looking at your roof, to wrap the roof around and have it, that's on the side of the house, on the back would be.
But they could move the door to the back,
And
then roof it like this, and roof it like that, and roof it like that, and it would all look like a roof.
Yeah.
It's very prominent, the flat roof and the deck.
Does everybody understand that?
Sort of. Okay. You understand it?
Yeah.
It is pretty ugly.
So, basically it doesn't meet, you know, historic roof design, flat roofs with rails around it is not a historic detail. And so our recommendation would be to roof the street side and the neighbor side to the east. They could have a deck in the back still, off the back. Because there's really no reason for access to one little room up there coming from the story duplex.
I just don't think that deck would be used.
It's totally waste. I think it's more that was whoever designed this solution because it sounded simple and it's not easy to put a small addition 6 feet back from all the bearing walls, so they're going to have to have all sorts of major beams and posts or something in there to hold it all up. So.
Is that a motion?
So yeah, I'll go ahead and make a motion that we feel like the rail design does not meet the historic standards for roofs that should be covering habitable space, and that we would permit having a deck in the back, but on the street side and the neighbor side, it should have a 4 and 12 matching pitch roof that surrounds the two sides of the addition upstairs.
Yeah.
What did you say about 4 and 12?
Well, matching the pitch of the roof.
Terry has something.
Mm-hmm. This door.
So, yeah, the other thing Terry wondered about when we looked at it, they're proposing a door on the front side, and in some ways, the other two doors, the lower floor and the upper floor, have screens in front of them right now, or the landings in front of the doors. So you do see stairs going up, and if somebody said, I live upstairs, you'd know where to go. If somebody was coming to the lower story, can't see the door, and we were wondering from a design, you know, point of view, to have an extra door facing the street seems odd, and that maybe you put the door on the 6-foot setback around the corner just to not confuse people, and whether that's a historic requirement or not.
You have a sense of entry. Now that's an exit door.
I guess you could say a sense of entry.
Is that an exit door?
Well, it would be an entrance door to that studio.
Rhythm of openings, that standard,
you
could probably connect it to that.
Rhythm of openings and sense of entry. If you don't want to have mixed messages for sense of entry. I mean, typically, you know, if you have an entry, we'd have a separate roof over it. We'd ask for a separate roof and a little porch or something, you know. So, and that would even make it look more obvious that it's not the right entrance to go to go to the duplex. So it seems like those two conditions would be important, and then we would need better drawings to show. I think the window in the front ought to match the window in the bay windows in front in terms of its size, so you get some consistency and rhythm of openings. So that one that faces the street ought to be the same size as what's in the bay window on the front of the house.
Are you asking for approval?
I guess I'm asking, putting a little more detail in the motion.
So when you say match, do you mean size?
Height and width of the existing windows on the front side of the main building for consistency of rhythm opening.
Well, these look like they're probably aluminum sliders. You can get them anymore.
No.
No, I didn't.
We noticed
that. That's a blessing, isn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, now it'll be white vinyl. But,
yeah.
So I guess we could also say that the window should be not white. It should be off-white, putty, or darker. And then we should see...
Well, you can get vinyl windows in black.
Right. These are silver. So the plan should also delineate the type of siding and trim to match the existing, and that no T111 plywood would be showing from the street.
Is that it? Because we need a second.
Any more? I think we've covered everything. That sound good? I'm finished. If somebody wants to second it, I'll make a modification.
I'll second.
Okay, we've got a second. Any more discussion?
Go right ahead.
On the size of the windows, is that, are you primarily concerned about the one on the front or the street side?
They also had a sliding glass door facing the neighbor, but with the roof suggestion, they would move that door to the back, and typically a sliding glass door back there would probably be fine.
On the upper story addition, they have, you know, a smaller window on the back, too. Does that matter?
Well, we're proposing, no. But we're proposing, because we're asking them to put a roof on the east side, they'd have to move that sliding glass door to the back to then access the deck and any stairs that went down. You see the stairs that go down
there? Oh, I see what you're saying.
Okay. Yeah. And then they could come from inside the house, out the back door, and everybody could use that deck that's in the back, go down the steps into the yard. I think they showed high windows on the east side.
Well, if they put the deck on the back, I mean, it's a pretty narrow deck. If they put a staircase, they could extend the deck further out, cantilever that out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're over 30 feet from the narrow property line.
Yeah, it's a seven foot deck, a deep deck by 20 feet wide, so it's plenty big.
By the time you get a stairway going into that?
Well, no, it's on the outside.
That probably wouldn't be where it is.
That's what we don't know about these kind of plans.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah. I mean, they need to draw it up in a way that works.
That we can tell how it works. I mean, you could build that.
But you could wrap it around the back.
Right. Because they have it going in front of, well, they don't. They have it going in front of the sliding glass door there, but now we can see that it's 6 feet away. So that's doable.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the motion. No more discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Can I ask, though, when a public hearing takes place, these people are, I was totally in it. For negotiating what the about the use of it,
uh-huh.
and the differences in what the applicant said and what right. seems to be the case,
right.
but that is not even our business, right?
It's not what
it's not even part of our role.
No, but because it came up,
because
it was part of public testimony. It will be brought up to the planning department, and then their findings, they're going to address it.
Well, that's what I
Even
wonder.
Even though we don't have any say over it.
Okay, is this the only hearing? They couldn't go to the planning commission directly?
It's a type 1 staff decision, which they can appeal to the planning commission.
Oh, I see. So we offered what reassurance we could.
So when it's approved, when the staff report comes out and it's approved, their next recourse is if there's a violation.
Yeah, just
to raise the
unfortunate. Yeah, that's good to know.
So what we didn't make clear is because the plans aren't so terrible. Are we asking to look at that at review board to verify these details? Because we can't talk to the owner about whether they're open to doing that. That's our suggestion, I guess. They don't have to be here, right?
You mean outside of looking at the building permit itself?
I mean, that would be the next time we look at it. We're not asking them to come back and show what they've done. We'll look at what our recommendations are and see if they're satisfied, and if staff is overruled, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, you would look at it at the building permit stage.
Okay.
I mean, we would probably, you know, it depends on the applicant, but sometimes when there's what the person might perceive as a fairly significant change, like I'm guessing the roof, you know, the roof suggestion might be a change in them, then we would recommend to the applicant to come talk to the review board before they do building plans. I mean, we always offer that up.
Okay.
You know, we can't and hope that they come talk to you. And, you know, especially when somebody like this is doing it themselves, obviously, with limited design professional help. Sometimes we can get them to go in and talk to you before they drop their building plans. But I doubt that person understands the technical structural issues you were discussing and how, you know, those kind of decks usually leak and hard to build, you know.
Right.
So sometimes when they hear it from a group of, like, you, people with experience in that area, that can make every difference.
Okay. So I'll go ahead and do this project. I'll follow through with it. Okay, moving on. So we're going to go to discussion items next.
Did we vote on that motion?
Yes.
Did we vote? Yeah.
We did vote.
Where was I?
I don't know.
I'm tired than I realized. Okay, sorry.
Well, Maria's going to tell us why we should sign our life away.
That's right.
You're talking about the packet of
policies
that was
sent
out from city
administration.
By the
packet.
Yeah, it was. I wish I'd have known that there were so many pages to print.
Oh. I think, you know, I don't know much about it, I'll be honest, but my sense is that that the city is trying to get in the routine of informing advisory commission appointed you know, officials that they are subject, you know, especially to that first part that was talking about the code of ethics and conflict of interest. You know, having a printed thing that you go through each year and review and look at. So I think it's a procedural thing. I don't think it's anything more than that.
It's a routine.
So, but it does pertain, so we're non-elected public officials?
So wait a minute, are you talking about what the city administrator sent out that we need to do to sign the form? That's separate than the handout about campaigning and this stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
That was the other thing.
Okay, let's talk about the campaign.
Wait, did you guys get this code of ethics thing?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody
I
go
just
ahead
remember,
and take one.
You
I'll take one and pass around. Sorry. I must have missed that. No, I have too many tonight.
Too many papers.
So, but before we move on,
no, I've already signed. I'm in trouble.
We do need that signed form about the first item, the commission policies memo and acknowledgement. We do need that from everyone.
Yes.
When?
This
tonight. One?
Yes.
This?
Well, I haven't read all that stuff.
Well, you can,
I started reading.
You can bring it in later, but we're going to probably keep
bugging
you.
Oh, I love attention.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, I'm a little confused. So this is a discussion about political stuff.
Yeah.
And this is a discussion about putting a sign in for 50 pages.
Yes.
Here.
And is that something that we...
Did you get one?
Is that the synopsis? Be able to make that decision so we can get fully signed tonight?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
So, could you give us a synopsis of what we should be concerned about?
In the 60 pages?
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else read those 60 pages?
I did. I actually did.
I read about the internet stuff.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Sexual abuse. But those two things.
Yeah.
And that's as far as I have.
And there's workplace aggression.
Oh, there's a lot. Yeah,
yeah,
I read
that
one.
I mean, that is serious stuff. Yeah, I mean, yeah. In terms of the commission, when you're here, you're technically subject to the same rules that public employees are.
Yeah.
You're appointed officials by ORS. And so I think everybody has to keep in mind that when you're doing your business of being in the meeting, that you have to be careful about what you say and not say anything about any protected class of people, because that's considered aggression, you know. So that applies to women, people, different religions, races, sexual orientation. It's the same stuff that's covered by federal law, and actually Oregon's law goes a little bit further. So, I mean, I actually think that is something to keep in, mm-hmm. it's important to keep in mind
yeah.
when they're conducting your meetings.
What about website and social media?
Well, yeah, I don't know that you really have access to them that much. I mean, I don't know of any commissions that do, but I guess if there were an instance, I mean, I guess the example would be as if you came on for a review board and decided to make on the sly, you know, 20 copies of a menu for a party you were having that night or something. You know what I mean? It would be misusing. You can't misuse the city's equipment for
okay.
non-historic commission business. So
okay.
making the copies of the menus for your dinner party would not be appropriate.
Okay.
That's the only thing I can think of that you as commissioners kind of regularly might have access to. You don't really have access to our computers, and that obviously applies to computers, too. What else? I mean, I think the important things were kind of at the beginning of that document, which overlap with the discussion we're going to have next. Conflict of interest is always something to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's under state law. It's governed by the State Ethics Commission. It is pretty serious stuff. If you have a potential or actual financial gain or loss that's involved in something that you're reviewing as a commission, you have to declare it and remove yourself. So the obvious example would be if one of you was working as a design professional or a planner on an application that was going to come before the commission. You could not participate. You can't represent it in front of this body by city code. So
I did some pro bono work for a project, and I took myself out of it because I could influence the rest of the people about
exactly.
My
and it's
experience
for pro bono
with it.
Too. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's important. And what else was in the beginning part? You know, there's the code of ethics in the city code that talks about being impartial and independent. Again, when you're in your role of doing your business here at commission meetings, that's, I think, you know, there's a general statement in there, but it's pretty important to keep in mind. I'm not saying that you're not doing this now.
Right.
It's just the kind of the highlights of that document.
Yeah. So during the PAC meetings, we were told that you can't send an email out to more than three people at a time, including yourself. Is that true here, too? Or is that because half of three people is a quorum? Or
yeah, that is true. That's a public meeting law under state law.
Okay.
So anytime three or more of you convene in any way, you're having a public meeting of the Historic Commission.
Uh-huh.
So you can't do that by email either.
So you can't meet or do it by email. But
you're not supposed to do either one.
But you can. But as we know, the council is, for instance, or ourselves, two of us could talk about a project.
But not three.
Out of the public forum.
Yeah, you can. I mean, I think there's always that thing to be aware of, that what's technically allowed and then what perception.
Right.
You're creating.
Okay.
So, you know, I think the thing you don't want to happen or have the public perceive as happening is that decisions are made outside of a transparent environment where people can listen to it or listen to the tape later.
Right.
So technically, it's you're not having a public meeting if just two of you meet and talk about it.
Uh-huh.
But if you do that before you weigh in on a project at this meeting, what's the perception there? Does that, you know what I mean? Does that look right to the people who are, you know, participating? Or is that fair? I guess it goes back to that general rule of thumb of being independent and impartial. But again, that's, you know, perception versus what you can and can't technically do, and sometimes, honestly, the perception stuff is just as important, if not more important.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we should all sign.
If you need more time to read through it, feel
can
free to wait.
Yeah.
But we are going to.
So I'm going to ask about, like, because you're saying three or more, and the two of us were talking to you about writing the statement that we came up with. When that's a delegated matter by the commission, that wouldn't apply, would it? Make us out of order?
Technically, we should send a public meeting notice and we should meet here.
Really?
For two of us to get together?
For three. It's once you hit three is the problem.
Since we were two, that was not
enough.
No, but the three of us did.
Maybe we should get another member on the commission so the quorum number goes up.
Well, it's not a quorum number, is it?
I thought it was quorum.
Is it quorum?
I think it's three or more. We can double check, but I'm pretty sure it's three or more.
I know it is for the city council because one of the members told me that.
It's a quorum.
That three of them couldn't get together.
Wow.
And that's half the. That's half.
That's six. Six of them.
So, would you mind talking about something else and giving me a break for a
while
and coming back to the next one?
Sure. So, I'm just going to show you real quick what the map. What the map. I need to zoom. this is really the first, this is the first pass at the Ashland train station.
Oh, nice.
Very nice.
What's up in the upper, above the train station is the roundhouse, an aerial of the roundhouse. We all thought it looked like a spaceship.
Yeah,
gone.
It does.
Oh, okay.
So, so we're going to take the roundhouse out of it, and we're going to put a, I think we're going to raise this up into here, and below it we're going to put an incredible locomotive photo that we have.
Yes.
And so this is a 400 or 500 word description of what goes on in each one of these things. But these are all going to be brass. They're half inch thick. They're going to be laid in the concrete.
So then they'll be bronze.
Right. And they're all shaded like this, and they can make
And that's the size?
This is the size.
Huh? Isn't it?
And what about security?
Very nice.
So they're
And it's raised?
They're poured into the concrete with epoxy, so you can't get them out. They're slip resistant.
Yeah, like ADA woman
approved.
Doing this is great.
So this one is actually different. You can see how the pattern of this one. So roundhouse is going to go away. That train station is going to be a single line, mm-hmm. as will this one be. This is a double line, and it's black. And it's kind of this is kind of a negative of that one. It's got a lot of white, which we didn't like. And so what we're going to do here is bring that white line down to here, raise this up. It's got more width. We'll make it bigger. And then we're going to make this bigger and move it up into this side. And so it'll be there. And then these three bathing beauties.
Will be out.
Excuse my
inappropriate language.
So they're gonna be, you know, over here somewhere.
That's cool. This is my favorite.
So this is Hua Chung and his family.
Wow.
This is the kids when they've gotten a little older, and this is somebody we don't know. This Chinese for Happy New Year, because he put on a lot of fireworks. So that one's pretty much what this, and the idea here, these are all real quick, because they're just giving us the first pass when we criticized him and made suggestions. These are beans because he had, he grew vegetables there and had a store. These are squash.
Yeah, they're 2.5 foot long.
Those are gonna be hand carved.
They are.
Yeah. So there's different textures that they use. We also didn't like the italicized writing, and we want more historic looking letters.
Oh.
She's
mm-hmm.
gonna throw a few of those at us. But the idea here is that this is gonna look like a picture album because they look like pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll have, you know, ruffled pages and look like a book.
That's cool.
And then we're going to put their names under because who's Hua Chung if you didn't know?
Which reminds me, are they going to be connected to any internet for more information? Like yeah. They are. Because I learned about that
so
guy.
There's another whole it's narrative on each one of them.
There will be.
It's more to do. Yeah. So that's the first street.
That's nice.
The detail of this picture is kind of lousy, so we took another picture just from that location. It shows all the detail of this, and so she's going to get that room specific.
Nice.
Wow. And that's the size that we're looking is the actual
this
size.
Is the front.
Yeah, but I'm sorry.
The side?
The medallion is the actual size.
Correct.
Yeah, and drawn. Huh? Yeah. I questioned the 1935 date, so I've got to look into that.
You haven't looked into it yet.
I know it's 1945.
Oh.
So this one's the building down on Fifth Street. This is the actual kitchen, and then this is the inside of a dining room.
Wow.
And there's a little story about the kids selling fruit along the train station. So she's going to, these guys also may be hand-carved in brass, in clay, and then they make them brass. And she's going to make that a boardwalk, because they were probably on boardwalk.
Now that upper picture looks cut off at the bottom.
It's which one?
The upper photo is cut off.
This one? Yeah. So our photo ended there?
But no, at the bottom.
Here?
The bottom of the photograph, going all the way across.
There's more below it.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. That photo shows one?
Yeah.
So I would say that's pretty close to ground level. I think that she probably wanted to get as big as possible, keep the roofs in there.
Yeah.
And so she said that they'll take architectural license and complete what's missing there.
Yeah.
But I think because it shows the roof so prominently, I think it's probably okay.
Yeah, I could show just a little bit more by input.
Okay. I'll ask that, but that's good. That's a good point. So anyway, there you go.
They're gonna
take our suggestions and throw it at us again, and we'll get one more revision.
I have a question. I'm trying to imagine black and white and bronze, right?
The white is going to be bronze, and the black is going to be black, like ink almost.
Okay.
So there's all this gets shadowed.
The patina.
It's almost airbrushed, patinaed. Yeah, it's a remarkable process.
Because I was wondering, I'm a former graphic designer, and I know that when you put white on black, it's very difficult to read, and if you're standing up above it, it makes it very difficult to read.
Yeah, so it won't be white.
It'll be
black against brown, basically.
Black against brown.
Grass,
okay.
Grass color.
Thank you.
Did you see them?
I think they're very nice.
They are.
Pretty impressive.
She sent them to us in little medallions this size. So I went to the printer and I had them blow it up. And so I put one of them on cardboard, and we put it in different locations just to see what it looks like. It looks big to me, but when you put it on the sidewalk, it looks great.
Yeah.
We went down to the Revive, where the Haskins Garage was, and the owner was there, and she loved it. And we put it where it's going to be, and so there.
So it would actually be in the sidewalk?
Yeah.
Yeah. Another half-inch thing, and they'll be epoxied into a hole in the concrete after it's poured, and then epoxied around it. So it'll have a black border next to the concrete that's 8-inch wide or so, which is a cock line.
What's the name of the company again?
Masterworks.
What I thought was great when I was working up at the beginning is that she has all this experience with safety considerations, you know, like, which are important if you're standing on it. People are walking over it, you know, right? So it's guaranteed to last and not be a hazard.
Right.
So that's kind of cool.
So I'll just give you a little synopsis of what went on Tuesday, from last Tuesday to this Tuesday. Last night, the city council, as everybody knows, the city council approved that they changed their whole...
They changed their whole mind.
Their whole approach to the city hall, and they're going to... Now they're committed to restoration and preserving the three walls. They directed the architects to talk to their... historic consultant Peter Major in Portland, who's incredible. Now look at their website.
How
like,
do you spell
this
his
is what they do.
How do you spell his
M-E-I-J-E-R. And so they've retrofitted a lot of these buildings, both structurally, historically. They do everything. They model them. So they've got a great consultant. And so the council voted last night to... Dana Crawford from ORW was there, and she told them, she was approached by Steve Jensen, one of the counselors, and they've committed to getting back to the city by April 15th with a more exact price, timeline, and details. So they're going to get all their consultants and builders and everything and just kind of sharpen their pencil on everything for around $50,000. And so, you know, their contract was $485,000, and the building is supposed to be about 7.2. They added another million for 15% more. 6.2, and they added a million to get to 7.2. So that's less than, you know, it's about 3/4 of 1% to get an idea of where we're going, where the city is going with that? Because they're concerned that the bond issue is not accurate in terms of what it's telling the citizenry of what they're voting for. So I'll start from the beginning with that in mind. When you guys told us that you'd like us to have to write a letter, Beller and I got together over a 3-day period, dueling times together, and we came up with what we thought was what we wanted to do, and we ran it by Maria, and she felt like it was a little too long. I called the mayor after we'd written it, and I said, I understand that we have a 3-minute duration for reading our historic commission's position. And he said, don't worry about it. You can have as much time as you want. So I felt comfortable doing that. But Maria did a great job of editing it for us and took out some of the sting maybe we had. But she did a beautiful job, and I think the council has just all heard it and felt like, wow. They really didn't discuss it, but we kind of dropped in their mind that they should be thinking about it. So that was 2 weeks ago Tuesday when I did the read that letter, and that's in front of you today. And so then a week went by to Monday of last week when Beverly emailed me and said, did you hear about the newscast tonight? And I don't know if any of you saw it.
I saw it.
So there was Channel 12 had a newscast, 45-minute spot right off the top of their news that showed a picture of what was going on. And Eric Navickas had contacted the TV station. And he had talked to Shippo, Tracy Schwartz, which I had also done after finding out who I should talk to from George Kramer. So we both talked to her and found out what some of the issues were. And so they quoted the letter that I read before the city council, and they quoted a bunch of paragraphs of Tracy Schwartz from Shippo, and as they had the reel going. And so, and after I saw that, I thought, and it wasn't definitive in that newscast what where the city was going with it. Didn't say whether they're going to remodel it or make it new. And so that's kind of raised the question, but when you hear Tracy Schwartz talk about it in her quotes, you know, it's a serious issue. And Kelly Madden, the city administrator, knew that, and she had talked about that a couple of times before the city council to kind of warn them of that idea, but they still made no decision to move forward with it or... So the bond issue is not clear about where it's going. So after hearing that, I talked to George Kramer, and I said, what can we do? And I said, after hearing that, I actually called one counselor. I actually called Rich and asked him about what his position was on preservation and what the council's position was. And he told me that everybody was kind of neutral on it. And so I appreciated that. And then I thought, how do the others really feel about it? So I thought about Steve Jensen, because in the when I read my letter, or maybe it was the week before or the 2 weeks before, they talked about Steve Jensen brought up the idea, you know, I've been in construction for a long time, and I've seen a lot of remodeling, and he said, I think what we need to do is demolish this thing and start anew, and we'll need a great building. And I know Steve Jensen from years back. He used to be a lumberman, and we bought lumber from him for years and always liked him. So I thought, I'm going to find out why he said that. So we met for coffee a week ago Tuesday from last night, and we talked for 2 hours. As soon as I started talking about some of the details and some of his concerns, he got totally behind it. And so the two of us kind of worked out, well, what's the plan? How can we go about getting this accomplished? Because he really got behind it. He said, I agree. It needs to be preserved. We walked over to the building and started showing him the details, and he got excited about the building. It's like they haven't looked at it, you know. And so Kramer had said that we need to get a second opinion, and Steve and I felt like that's maybe a little harsh, and that the city probably wouldn't do that. So he came up with the idea that maybe it should be a feasibility study. And that feasibility study doesn't sound as harsh. And then that actually turned into him talking to the architects later in the week about could that be done.
Him being Jensen?
ORW doing that.
Yeah.
And this is Steve Denson talking to them.
Okay.
And so they came up with a timeline and asked to be done quickly. And so after talking to Steve, I started talking to four other counselors individually. I set meetings with them all, and I spent an hour with them all, and I addressed a lot of their concerns about construction sequencing and what the building might look like and how seismic is done in masonry buildings. Not that I'm an expert by any means, but answered mostly the questions of the timeline, and that timeline shouldn't be something that you decide how to build a building, a new building versus a remodel. And so everyone I talked to, and I also talked to the mayor, and I also talked to the city administrator, and I talked to the city administrator first. That was the first appointment I made, because when we got the definition from Regan about what the council conclusion was for that night, it was two sentences, and it was just vague. And I thought, how can anybody vote on this? You know, how can the city council members say that that's where they're going? It just was so vague. And so I sent an email to Kelly, and I said, what is the issue? I asked her a bunch of questions about, does that mean you're going to design a building that's historically compatible before you, and talk to the historic commission before you decide to demolish? And so I asked three or four questions, and he said, why don't we meet? And so we met, we went over all those issues. She was totally behind restoration. Then I talked to the mayor, totally behind it, the other counselors. I got no resistance. So between Steve and I, all the counselors and the administration were contacted, and by the time it came around to the next meeting, the mayor, you know, had written a resolution, and everybody had heard about it or knew about it or understood what the issues were. And it was a 6-0 vote last night to renovate the building. The next question was, should we spend $50,000 to have this feasibility study and what it would cost in the timeline from the architects? And that was a 4-2 vote in favor of. So ORW is on it, and Harry's helped out a little bit. They've asked us for any input that we might have or any photos and that sort of stuff. So it was a pretty exciting week for me. I mean, every time I got out of one of those meetings, I'm like, yeah, everybody's into this, you know. But so it was fun, and it was a great
time. George, just through the Briscoe neighborhood, does anybody else get that?
Yeah, I've read his comments.
I mean,
he, on next door.
Yeah, he wanted them to put the whole project, set it aside.
Yeah.
And so did that come up last night?
No, I mean, he sent a letter to the city council. He's put it out in everywhere in the Chronicle. I mean, Ashland Chronicle, Carol Royson's paper,
yeah,
and the neighborhood papers and that sort of thing. When I was approaching all these officials, my point was, we need to decide about preservation, and I don't even want to talk about the money. And the other thing that I felt was important was the language of the bond issue. So as soon as I realized that that was really important, I started talking to the mayor and Kelly about, I knew the timeline. You had to have the bond issue wording in by Friday, is my understanding. And I have to have their arguments in by another month later than that. And so they actually tried to change the wording that would include preservation, but the lawyer apparently for the city decided that they couldn't do that, it was too late. So now it's more of going to have to be more of a public relations thing. So this ORW approach is one of them. Which brings us to the question of, we can't be supporting a bond issue as a historic commission or individually.
Individually you can, but while you're doing your business,
yeah,
you're subject to campaign law.
Right.
So you really are not supposed to discuss it at all. in this meeting.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So,
but what I've discussed so far is fair.
Somewhat. Yeah, I mean, I think you probably should steer clear of talking about the ballot.
Yeah.
The language on the ballot.
Yeah.
You know what's, you know what, whether it's going to, you know, pass or not.
Right. So, but I think it was fair to talk about the language and being able to try to change it before the measure went out, and that was part of the strategy. Of,
yeah, I mean, I think I'm sure this is all like gray area when somebody. Yeah. I mean, this is, you know, the reason we passed the campaign stuff out really is to protect you, because the state laws are quite strict, and you, as just like I could get fined. You know, if you do something inappropriate, and somebody recognizes that and reports it, so the city recorder sends it out every election, and we pass it out, try to pass it out to commissions. I do think, you know, it certainly caught my attention because I know that the commission is interested in all three buildings that are going to be on the ballot because it overlaps with your presentation, you know, powers and duties. So I think in that case, you are really focused on preservation and furthering that
and education.
Yeah. But now the ballot language has been filed the way I talked to the city attorney about it. He said basically the clock starts when that language is filed.
Submitting.
Yeah. So that's when the campaigning rules that are on that handout for public employees apply to you as commissioners. So again, it's really when you're doing your commission business,
right,
which is at this meeting. That handout I provided you pulls in the ORS. It says when they are acting in their official capacity, when they are meeting on the Board or Commission, working on a duty assigned by the Board or Commission, working on official publications for the Board or Commission, that would be like when you're writing a letter, or when appearing at an event in an official capacity. So you cannot, when you're doing those things as historic commissioners talk about, any campaign election stuff, whether that's a somebody's running for office or ballot measure or recall or anything. And this has a couple examples on it at the bottom from the Secretary of State. So say somebody is running for city council and they came to you and said, hey, can I have your endorsement? Just one-on-one, you could say sure, and they could even use that with your title in a, you know, like their
publication
or whatever they do. But if somebody came to this meeting and said, hey, will you endorse me or endorse, you know, let's use something totally different, building a jail, you could not comment on that. You'd have to respectfully decline, and we'd have to explain we're in our official capacity, we can't participate in campaigning.
So the Historic Commission cannot create a new letter that relates to our support for
the
bond issue or not.
Yeah.
Although we could publish, after it became public, my testimony, the letter, could be sent to the editor because it was public information.
Well, that's probably kind of dicey. I mean, if you're doing it for political purposes and campaigning, you know, I would.
What about public education?
It doesn't even campaigning. Mean anything anymore because the letter was urging them to change
preserve
their mind. They did.
Right.
So it's
more educational
at this point.
Yeah. And I would be careful and suggest that Jeff was the city attorney because, again, this is about protecting you as a commissioner so that you don't have someone report you to the state,
right,
Secretary of State, and the fine.
Right.
I mean, not also that we should conduct ourselves according to state law and everything like that, too. But.
And I also, when I did my footwork behind the scenes, so to speak, on an individual basis, and I've got every right to talk to the mayor or any
I think that was separate than you were clear to stay away from the financing part, which is really the part that's on the election. So as the chair, you know, you had clearly put out a statement.
Yeah.
So you can go talk to people about that.
Yeah.
So are you suggesting then if there was this letter, which was essentially asked for by this commission was just put in as a letter by Dale that said, this is a letter I wrote, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's already
representing.
It's already public. Do you suggest he go talk to the city attorney first before he does that? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Are you suggesting another letter?
Nope.
You don't think about the one that we already did?
I'm not sure because I'm not an attorney, but however, I do have access to another attorney and I can get a second opinion also, just because if the board wants me to.
Well, I'm not sure. Do we have an issue here?
I think she says we do have an issue.
Well, that's understandable to me. You're not agreeing with that?
No, I don't agree with that. I think that once something becomes public, I've seen it happen before. It's a there's nothing secret about it. It could be, I don't know who should sign it. I think she's right. The letter only talks about the importance of our job.
Preservation, right?
Period.
Right.
It's not advocating we want this or that or pay for or vote for this or that. And I think that's important information that people know for sure. I know, I've been gone, so I missed part of this, but I know when you went to that first meeting, your statement was not even in that article. And
it showed the wrong picture.
And
they
showed the wrong picture.
Yeah, well, that's the Titans problem.
Yeah, but still.
Oh, sorry.
And that took away a whole chunk of the reason you did what you did. Telling people this is our job.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I wasn't really catering to the public. I was catering to the commission. We were talking to the commission, and that's who has the influence to make decisions, and that's what we wanted them to hear. It would have been nice had the Tidings put some quotes in there or something like the TV station did, but it didn't happen. The fact that they put in a 4-story building is probably in our favor because that scared a lot of people.
Yes.
So.
I'm just thinking that the
I think it went fine.
You're talking about specifically wanting the statement to be as an opinion piece in an editorial? Is that?
Yeah, like because I still don't think people get the importance of what we do, and it not only applies to City Hall, it applies to everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just kind of, in my experience, this group has made a big difference in many ways, even in the short time I've been here.
Right.
But I think as this town grows, there's room for growth, but there is rules set out that we're supposed to follow, and this makes clear that we're doing our job. That's all. I don't know how to do that exactly.
I think if it wasn't during election season, that's totally reasonable. But if you put it out there during election season, that's the part I think that you need to talk to the city attorney about.
Okay.
It's the context.
I see.
And I'm not saying that it needs to be kept secret. It is all public records. Mm-hmm. It's all on the web, you know.
But it might.
Somebody comes in and get it.
So people might look at it as trying
an endorsement.
To influence it. And then.
I see.
Yeah. Okay. I understand that.
It's
that
timing.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
That
the letter
does make
worked.
Sense.
So that's
really true. The letter worked.
It
and you
work.
Didn't have to get interviewed. I kept you know, when
it
that
did
channel
work
12.
In the end, it did.
I thought.
And thank you very much for all that.
Yeah, it was a lot of work. I mean, on his part to talk to all those people.
Yes.
It was different
thank
work.
Thank you for Beverly for sticking it out, the two of us.
It's very great.
Well,
yeah, because
I think I did send you all
yes,
the
you
original,
mm-hmm.
and then
then
you got to see the other
one
longer. And
you did well.
Huh?
You did well.
You did.
Thanks.
We were a little tortured at times.
I do think it was a lesson in there's no perfect time to make a statement because we talked about whether were we making a statement too early, and.
Because timing couldn't have been better.
And it turned out to be that it was a source document for a lot of news And like Sam was saying, the next door and the Chronicle, they all had
the
something.
The city's been talking about City Hall for years.
20 years.
Years.
Oh, 27?
But then, you know, in the last few months, they only had 3 meetings, now 5 meetings, the 2 more that I went to, that actually talked about City Hall as being down there or remodeled. Before that, it was all this idea of the 3 different locations.
Yeah, right.
The first one there. So they don't, and so they just, it's just interesting that because they don't have anybody, like from our committee that has some building and design experience, that would ask those kind of questions, you know, and they just don't have a clue about it. So they get the information they get from staff and what they get from ORW, but it doesn't necessarily reflect another opinion. And that's why George felt like, you know, you need to get a second opinion. And a couple of the counselors felt the same way, but that didn't pass.
You think he's okay with the feasibility study idea?
Yeah, I think so.
I would imagine.
Well, he would say, why isn't it somebody independent, and why isn't it three bidders bidding on a proposal to remodel City Hall? And then you have 3 competitive proposals.
Yeah.
You know? But that's fine. That's the way it went.
So should we sign?
I signed it.
It doesn't say anything, but we
read it. It just,
yeah,
that we got it.
Yeah. That we got it, so I have no problem.
I started to read that. I started to make my head hurt.
Signing it, because I did get it.
It does. It's all.
I mean,
I'd like to sign every bureaucratic.
Right in the middle of the
park. I guess it's like getting a summons. You just
yeah.
Big dollars.
Yeah. You met. Right. Yeah. That you got it.
Well, is it the 4th today?
Yeah.
Yes.
So you know George. Do you know George? Do you think he'll be okay?
We haven't done review work schedule yet either. I don't know.
We
accidentally skipped over that.
Yeah,
he'll be happier.
Yeah.
He's down for the 2nd. Weekend.
I'm not sure. The
12th. Yeah.
Okay. So I have Piper already on that
day
too. So.
Yeah. We can't.
Terry, you can do your usual.
Yes.
Okay. So tomorrow I have Terry, Keith, and Sam for the
5th. Okay.
And then the 12th I have Terry, Piper, and Ellen. So then everything after that is open. I've got the 19th.
I can do the 26th.
I'll take the
9th. And then Beverly, what did you?
26th is the only one I can do this month.
I'll do the 19th.
Oh, you have plenty.
And then I'm gone for almost a month.
Oh, where are you going?
We go to Palm Springs every year.
I'll do the 9th.
Okay. Take the dogs. It's the dogs vacation.
Yeah, right. So is it okay? You have everybody?
Dale, do you want, is there a date you want to do?
What do you have?
The 26th, April 2nd or April
9th. New York City, if the virus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dear.
It's going to in the spring.
In the spring?
In the spring.
You know, the miracle. Trump talked about.
Health according to Trump. What day? So can't
the
be
the 26th, the 2nd, or the 9th?
The 9th?
The 9th?
Mm-hmm.
And then
okay, so I'm on the 26th and I don't like being alone without any trade architect person. Of course Terry knows it.
So,
but
so I can do any date.
Bill, I have you on this April 2nd. Do you want to fill in on the 26th also of March, or
I could
can just wait and see too.
Yeah,
I
that's true.
I can send out a
that's you can do that
SOS.
Well.
So our meeting is the 8th next month?
Yes. Is it the, yeah, it's the
8th. Okay. So I have one, I don't know, did anybody watch me last night? I have the last sentence of what I said last night.
Yeah, I saw it.
Apropos. I said, I urge the council to vote in favor of the resolution before you tonight that makes preservation your priority. In doing so, the Ashland Historic Commission and many Ashlanders will consider this evening a preservation Super Tuesday win.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was good.
Okay, so what else do we have?
The brochure.
I just gave you the brochure from last year. Like,
yeah.
Download, everything's wrong. But if anybody can think of anything else to add to it,
no, it looks good.
Do the
I thought it looked
tours.
Good.
It looks
and
very
Terry's
good.
Terry's going to do his tour on Friday.
Right, and you got my blurb.
I did get your blurb. I'm still kind of working on it. Okay.
And
yeah.
I won't be able to do my macabre.
Yes, I got thing. Your size.
Your macabre.
Next year.
Okay.
What day do you think we should do the self-guided tours in the cemetery? Should we do Wednesday or Thursday of that week? We have the awards on Tuesday.
Tuesday,
it's always been on Wednesday.
Wednesday, okay.
Yeah.
So historic awards are on election day.
Oh, is that right? You think the mayor will be there?
He's already said he
is. He's committed.
I was considering whether this was going to pass or not, whether we would invite him or not.
We can give him an award. Just kidding.
Well, we could. That's an interesting idea to give a civic award to them, possibly to the council for changing their mind.
Well, that would be better.
Okay, so did we have everybody do their tours, and that's what we're doing now?
Yes.
What time is it? Do we want to do that? Is it 7:30?
Yeah, it's 7:35.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
I'm fine with it.
Okay, let's go for it.
You guys are up for it.
Okay, down the list.
I forgot my phone, too.
So we're doing...
But we can remember that.
Oh, hopefully.
Are we going down the list?
Yeah, this is the demo.
Okay. Keith and I had the first six, and the 366 Scenic had no exterior changes. It's across the street from me. 170 Harrison, nothing started. Okay. 68 Third is not complete. It's on the alley. It doesn't look nearly complete. Okay. 352 is not quite complete, and it's so ugly that I couldn't nominate it. So, that said, here is 533 Park. It's not finished.
So 252B is no good either?
What?
Do you have 252B? Is that
352?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about that next.
Out of order?
Huh?
You're going to do it out of order?
Out of order. Yeah, he's on a roll, this guy, tonight. I don't know.
It's the only one I think we need to discuss.
Okay.
You can look at this. I think it's popped up from the ground.
Is that rock?
Yes.
Okay.
It's terrible. You can pass it around. I took a picture of it. Now, B, I don't like everything about it. You know, they used white vinyl windows with grids. However, they did retain, you know, the things in the... Here's a couple pictures.
This is which one?
This is 252 and 256B.
Okay.
They're the only ones
right.
that Keith and I had. What do you think?
I was not wowed by any.
Well, I'm not either.
You know, I
feel very bad.
Let's take the year off for a while.
They were not tracked homes, but... They just, I think to give an award, it needs to be exemplary. I mean, people need to really do the right thing.
Yeah.
And all these, you know, there's a couple of these who are nice, but nice is not award worthy.
No.
Yeah. No, I agree. I feel sorry for the lady, you know, her daughter died.
Oh,
in the middle of the project.
What you didn't like about it. I noticed.
I'm glad
you didn't have a belly band. It didn't have a horizontal band.
Nice
person. You are.
So the first four were
rebuilt.
The first four on the list are crossing off, right?
Yeah, because they haven't finished.
Unless.
We could send flowers.
Okay. Of the first six, I don't think we had anything.
Okay.
Dale, I am going to make a suggestion. that next year when we do this, we go 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2.
We did that last year.
Because, you know, we had all the ARUs. And
ours were all single-family residences. So.
You know, and so it's not fair.
I agree.
We didn't get anything good.
Oh, well,
I see. That's why we gave you those stuff.
So they're in an order that...
We don't want to encourage you.
Well, yeah, we just went down.
Yeah,
we
that's
got
what
the
we
first
did.
Six, and the next person
yeah,
got the
I
next six.
That.
But because of the categories,
I see.
Let's go 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
I agree.
So now on the B Street one?
I wanted to make it easier on reading.
So the B Street one, is it worthy?
I'd love to hear that.
No.
Yeah.
Award worthy is what.
I don't think it's award worthy. It was the only thing that was on our list that was even
close
to, you know, that so even deserved discussion.
You had 4th Street too, and that was out of there.
The 4th Street
what
one.
What you kind of find with the ones that we looked at was that they put an effort into trying to make them look like they fit in the neighborhood, but they use textured wood siding,
yeah.
These white vinyl windows, stuff that we typically say, do not use these things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just see everybody doing remodels using that hardy plank that's textured wood.
Yeah.
And it's like, wrong.
And that particular building on B Street was gorgeous before they started. And why
really?
They wanted to expand it. They rebuilt the whole thing, so it's new. Yeah, it's like,
that's too bad.
So you looked at 4th Street also, 134th Street?
Yeah.
And that was out too?
I didn't think it was.
Okay. All right, who's number two?
All right.
Tom.
That was Piper and I, and starting off at 324 Avery, it's not finished.
Okay.
265-6, and it's just a bump out. I'll pass out the photographs so you can look at it, but it's just a bump out. You know, it's not bad, but it's not.
It's not an award.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No.
Well, we could give 6 awards to the city council.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have to have a certain number, surely, do we?
No.
Okay. I mean, discretion?
And 620 Iowa was not done.
Yeah.
Now, 182 Hargadine. There's that the next one, yeah. It's, you know, it's off the alley, which is... Nobody can really see it. It's an interesting, I mean, I guess if you want to say interesting, but it's really not much. You'll see the photographs. The facing the alley, you'll see these two big windows and a kind of a corrugated roof over it. And then the side patio was done as well. And it's not bad, but you can't see it.
A hidden treasure.
I mean, it's interesting.
No.
It was like...
No.
I don't think so either.
No.
Oh, come on.
Have you got anything?
We don't.
I'm getting there.
Okay.
What did you say about 6th Street?
This is
which one? No.
Did you talk about that one yet?
6th Street.
Which one?
Did you
say
6th Street?
No.
I did. I said no.
Oh, sorry. I'm behind here.
Imagine that. Oh, you keep up. I don't know.
Okay, 88 Granite. This was Sid DeBoer bought this property. And I'll send the first picture up, and then everybody will know.
Yeah, it's the Mises house.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, well, that's...
I know it well.
Sid DeBoer...
They didn't do anything.
Built it.
Oh.
Or is the owner... And it, you know, it's kind of it depends on what part you're looking at, because the breezeway between the two existing structures.
That looks
The back of that. I would say it's not really done, but anyway, look at the photographs.
Oh, so
because Sid DeBoer has it, and what did he say? He has a quarter of $1 billion. He came to us once.
something like that.
Well, it's Brian.
That was where the stock was $2.
You see, it adjoins Brian's property, and they're putting steps there. You know, from the Winburn house. That's why they bought it.
Oh, okay.
See, it's exactly up from Brian DeBoer's house.
What are we looking at on 88?
Well, it's not done.
It's not done.
What are they doing?
Well, it's down in the garage.
They're putting there's an existing structure there, and two of them, the house, of course, and then there's a back house, and they're putting an elevator and a walk-through, and doing a little patio out in the back. They're not done.
We approved it, right? All of this was...
Well...
Yeah.
This house, though,
it's been lowly, so remodeled.
Yeah, it's just like a Disneyland extravaganza.
You mean the way the back part of it is?
No, it's just
the original
overdone.
Is it? And the upper story thing, that looks nothing like that.
Now, the drum roll, please.
Okay.
About time.
The only one that might have a chance... is 59-6, and there's so much happening there. It's just, it was the dormer. I remember we talked about the dormer before, and then they had this extension of, there was an extension that was already had been granted at some future time, but they built all the way from the existing house to where the little extension was. Anyway, let me get the first.
I'm sure glad I wasn't a number one or a number two.
That was the Steve.
These are the people that went ahead and built it before they seen it or they had approval.
It's kind of the front of it.
Well, you don't award those kind of people.
They don't deserve an award for what they did.
You can hardly see the dormer. Yeah.
It's a National Register property, and it never should have
really
never should have happened.
So I guess we kind of stuck out.
Yeah.
Well, the pressure is up.
Over two. I hope number three,
the three groups,
Bill and Beverly, they must have gotten really.
Yes, fun. And of course it was this afternoon when I talked.
Fresh in your mind.
Dale said, "Have you done your homework?" And I totally forgot about it. And fortunately, Bill was able to drive us around this afternoon. So, and I forgot my phone where I took the pictures. So, what'd you say? You were saying, what the hell?
I was printing pictures out for Tom and Piper today, too, in the 11th hour, so don't feel bad.
Because Piper, who's not here, you know, she's the one who took the pictures.
Oh, yeah.
And she didn't tell me she wasn't coming tonight.
Oh, no.
And so when I saw the email that she's not coming, I called pretty enough. And
well,
see if she could send the
I have no excuses either. I've been So I was leaving, which I was late leaving because we got home, got back at 5:30. And so I decided, am I going to be really late and go back and get my phone, which I guess I should have done. But I think it was just this afternoon. I think we can remember this. So, of course, the one I can't remember is the first one, 147 Central. I kind of remember
That's
that. Oh, yes, and that was quite well done.
And it was very nice.
Which one is it?
That was a
147 Central.
It's the woman who's now on the Planning Commission.
Yeah, she used to be on the Historic Committee.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And it's extremely...
Yeah, I drove by it, and I thought it looked pretty good, too.
I forgot my phone.
And I don't know.
It's on my phone, but I'm going to get it.
Sure, I can probably pull something up.
Okay, thank you. What? How would you're a building guy? How would you describe the connection? Looks like it could have been built that way. The addition.
Trim, the roof pitch.
Yeah, it's Carrie Kintan's house.
Details, yeah. The windows.
It was very
the paint just, colors. Yeah.
There was a couple of things.
The paint colors are really nice on
the way
the
it
house.
Connected to the building. It felt a little like stuffed in.
You don't have a picture.
And then the windows
are right electrical.
Oh, she left her. Why she was late? Remember,
it sits back. God. And it's like this little cottage.
I just let everybody down. So sorry.
Well, I'm sure. I think enough of us are familiar with it that maybe. Yeah. Do you? Are you? I think it's a nice project.
I was pretty impressed with it.
And I thought it was very good.
I've never seen it at review board, and we gave her some suggestions. And I don't remember if they took them or not, because there were a couple of things that were weird about it. But when I saw it finished, it was pretty good.
And it was done by Coleman Creek, so.
Yeah, he could.
Although
a bunch
I'm
of
not
these.
An employee of Coleman Creek, you know, I'm connected, so I don't know that I could vote on that.
But this is just nominations we're talking about tonight? Is that correct?
Well, no, I think we're...
Oh, these are...
I think
oh,
we're...
Oh, brother, I really did screw up in not having the pictures.
I don't have any pictures, sorry. I thought it was...
I should have gone back and got it. I'm so sorry.
Without going back and pulling the plans.
Can you?
You want me to go now?
Is it on the county website?
Can I send it to your email, guys? I'll send it to your email.
Well, I think you've seen it. I think enough of us have seen it that...
There was a couple of things I thought were a little shady, but the trim matching was perfect.
And, it really
and
was.
Because it's set back. You see the two gables and you go, oh,
That's what I think struck me, was that, well, I don't know, setback is a technical term in your world maybe, but... The way it was attached with this part of the structure that was back in, like it could have been an original old, and the two that were, you know, in sync. I thought that was very untechnical. Moving along.
That one probably is a plus then. The first one.
Right.
Okay. What's the next one?
And the next one is Delgado's place, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Carlos Delgado. It says, but it's not complete.
It really isn't.
You could call it substantially complete, but the porta potty is still there. The fence is.
What is it?
It's a big addition.
Oh, yeah. It's an addition.
I know that one.
And Bill said that you guys had seen it, and it was because it's a long addition, but it's less long.
It was one of the first projects I worked on. Put the little turret in there. And then the whole back area, the shop and...
They came in, we suggested a change, and then the architects had said, that's what we wanted to do, to offset part of it, because we felt like it was too long. So they did eventually offset it by a foot or something, so it looked like a separate little building. They listened to us and it came out.
692.
I'd say that's award worthy.
It's award worthy, but the front is completely, the siding is still.
It'll be done by time already.
Oh, do you think so?
It looked, because when we were walking around looking at our places, we looked at that one too. Just
Here's the central, 147 Central. That's just off Jackson County website.
Yeah, so that doesn't
show the link.
It doesn't show the addition.
I will promise to send you all photos.
You can send them to me tomorrow, or you can
I send them to you?
And I can save them.
And you'll save me?
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you.
So we can kind of give our general approval.
Okay, so 147 is good, then 692 is probably okay? I mean, I think,
If you think it's...
They were trying to work around elevation and a tree well and
Tom's work.
But having the offset really made it in my mind. It offset the roof so it had a separate roof.
I think of enough of us of I think that's a plus.
So Beverly, I think we made a mistake. We were supposed to look at 563 Rock, and I think we looked at 533 Rock.
Oh. Well, it was the garage. They were...
On Rock, the corner of Rock and Maple.
Oh, it wasn't a corner property.
Right. Oh, so you didn't look at the... Because there's a single-family home that goes along with...
That was what was confusing.
And that's on Maple.
152 Maple.
Yeah, and
I wondered about that when we didn't.
And I've driven by that, and I don't see it as anything special.
Okay.
Oh, good. Okay.
Eliminate that.
That was Rockwood.
And then we're taking Maple off the list, too, I would assume, if you said, because Maple was the second unit?
Yeah.
Okay.
But one thing about the house on Rock is that, you know, they wanted to tear it down. And I think, Keith, you were there. I wasn't, but I remember Bill was there. And you kind of convinced them to save the historic structure. And it may not look that historic, but at least they saved the building.
Yeah.
And I think that says something.
So this permit was for the garage with living space above. So this is separate from that the remodel.
Well, we looked at them too because that we were looking at 152 Maple. That was part of us.
Okay.
So we looked at both.
Oh,
we
good.
Took pictures of that. Of the second unit because the first unit was the year before.
Yeah, the second unit.
Okay.
Top picture.
Okay. So what's the consensus?
Yeah. We just felt like, you know, it's somewhat compatible, but they did a weird thing on the deck. And, you know, it's not beyond and beyond.
It's not an award.
No.
So then...
So that's also Rock Street.
Yeah.
And Maple Street, which is ours.
And we're not going to have it, right? Allison was the one that we looked at last, I think.
Right, it's in the
alley. You said it looks good. I thought it looked good, but it's definitely not going to be done. Do you think by the time
they have they have added like a basement shop, and above that is a deck,
right?
And that deck is not complete. It could be complete in a month or so.
So is it a flat deck, flat roof with a deck?
I think what it looks like
so crazy
is they've set posts and they have steel strapping on the posts. So it means they're going to clad those posts and probably going to be a more traditional railing. And it would be appropriate in the back of the house there. Although, I don't know that it's award worthy.
No, that's what I
really
think. Anything with a flat roof is not award
worthy. Not that there's a prejudice.
What's the address on that?
Alice.
489 Allison.
That one is not ready, or are you just
not? I don't think it would work.
We might have to postpone the awards.
Yes.
Okay, so that one's out too. Next, 2nd Street, you guys do that one?
Yes.
Yeah.
We did our. And now.
I think that was not complete.
That's right.
Well. Jeez.
It really was, a lot of them were not.
Yeah, well, ours too. Ours also.
256.
Oh, no.
Not ready yet?
Nothing.
263 North 2nd
isn't.
Neighbors.
Oh, gotcha.
Where is this?
That's the one. That's the one that.
The one on Harrison.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's right behind Janice and James.
And it's definitely
otherwise
not.
I was going to circle the block six times.
It still has the house wrap on it. It's not, I don't think it's even sided yet. It's under roof.
That's 263 North 2nd? Talking about.
Yeah, and that's not close to being done.
6th Street, what's happening on 6th?
Oh, that's a cute little laundry room, but it's... I don't think so.
And it's...
In the colors.
You can just barely see it from the alley. And,
yeah.
And the house has weird colors.
I'm excited about the next one, though.
Okay, we got an excitement.
I was, because it was the first one we saw when we drove up
on Manzanita.
And another one that Bill says he has to recuse himself. it was a... you probably should describe it, but I will just describe that it was a contemporary... kind of structure. It was a garage, new.
Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't horrible.
Mitch and Laurel's. Yeah, they did not follow what we asked them to do.
Oh.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It's the, there's the old house on the corner of Manzanita and I. And then a few years ago, we gave them an award for a cottage they built.
Right.
And then in between there,
that's where the garage is.
All the casements and stuff. We saw that yesterday, too.
Yeah. It's okay.
I thought the cottage was amazing.
Well, we gave it an award a few years ago.
I heard you say that.
Yeah. But the garage, I don't think is, I mean, whatever.
I thought it was fine.
I think that's what I was asking Bill about. Yeah, I don't know if it's a word.
And I can't really say anything because I was involved in
that.
Well, tell us your opinion. I mean, so what I saw was a gable and the whole upper story was casement windows.
Right.
Right. And then there's a garage door below.
Two garage doors.
Right. Two single garage doors.
Yeah.
And then was there something about the roof?
It was...
So, the roofs are hip.
Here's a picture from the planning application.
Oh.
It's not like the final, but...
Well, that's the cottage. It's the left.
Oh,
That's the cottage, which we gave. That's it.
Okay.
We gave the cottage an award a few years ago.
Yeah. And so the thing about it has a... It has a hip,
in the back, gable in front.
No, it has that's right. It has a hip in the back, the gable in the front, mm-hmm. and we had to do the hip in the back for solar. And they've used a variety of materials, including, lap siding. Beadboard.
It was kind of cool. But I'm not qualified.
I think we'll some shingles or something.
You'll send out
We will send out the picture.
I think the architectural elements really make it compatible.
Yeah, that's what struck me.
But it has a more modern look to it.
Well, he's an artist.
Right.
They build it to be. They sold the house on the corner where they were living.
That's what I heard.
They moved into the cottage, and that's his studio. I know them.
So he wanted to make it a little more artsy than the story.
Right.
And they, when they came to review board with it, he got real huffy. Who else was there? And said, "I'm an artist. This is the way I want
so
it."
Send us the photo.
Yes, of course.
Okay, so that's a maybe then.
Which one on Manzanita? We're talking still
one
talking
three
about Manzanita.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a possibility.
And the photos are coming.
Okay, so we looked at Maple. That was gone. Then Central Avenue is where Will Statter lived. Do you remember his name? Quite a famous guy here. He used to own Twin Plunges.
Oh, really?
So he had this big white gabled house, and they wanted to put one unit above the mm-hmm. garage, and we had asked them to push it back.
So and they listened to us.
Yeah, they had it out where the porch was. We got them to move it. I think we asked them to put it 3 feet behind. I think they ended up putting it about even. And so then they repainted everything, and so the gables match in terms of their texture, so V-shaped shingle.
Little fishtail.
The siding they used tiny groove instead of the big groove, which shows quite obviously. It's kind of a wimpy little trellis that they put on. It's just a 2x2 across the garage. Mm. And what Terry and I felt like is that we had. I thought that we had specified that they had spindle rails, handrails, and they made it solid, which makes it really look contemporary. It would have lightened it up so much. So, and then the other behind it is all these four cottages.
Mm-hmm.
Remember all the trees were?
Yeah.
They had five, and they went to four because they had to save a couple of trees. And they're all fine, but back there, stuff, but... we lose our historic value of that house. It should be recessed for it. Yeah.
So it doesn't.
I don't think it's a bad project, though. You know, they did listen to us and make changes from what they originally were doing.
They just tried to do too much on that property. You know, they have five units and
Rick crammed it in.
Oh, they definitely crammed it in.
Well, didn't they eventually eliminate one unit or...
Yeah, they did. Yeah. So I just feel like, you know, that's just, it's compatible, but it's just like out of scale, and the historic house should win, and now it's just like
well, I think that
a
that
big
porch,
infill project.
That porch thing.
Yeah, it's just.
Blew it.
Mm-hmm. I think we should have high standards here.
Okay.
So no?
Central to no. 79 High Street.
I just included the picture because it was so ugly.
Oh, you know, this one is amazing.
Amazingly bad.
We had to look at this for like 10 years. And we somehow just finished it. So this is on the corner of High and, I'll pass it around, but just check it out. I mean, the tall walls with lowered windows. I mean, it's, you know, it's like 11-foot ceilings and they have low windows. They don't line up.
And yes, then, Church and High.
Yeah, and they're just 4x4 posts. It's just awful.
No.
They demolished without a permit.
Yeah, they did it without a permit.
That's for another discussion.
Well, if they did it without a permit, it shouldn't qualify.
Yeah. There's a good point.
I mean, that should
It's one of the worst reviews.
Oh, yeah, that. Oh, that's just absolutely horrible. And, you know, they came to us with, he did, he was a nice guy, with his original plan. Oh, this is just disgusting.
So the top one has the top picture? Was that the original?
Look at how
Oh, it's another house.
That was Maple Street.
Oh, okay.
It's really bad.
I've got the address.
It almost looks like traffic.
Okay, so next was 120.
So 79 High now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so a 126, big
house. 126 Fork is still, it's a brand new house, has no historic qualities, and it's framed, and they're still putting...
Still building.
Okay.
It'll never pass as a historic house. And then we looked at two on Fairview that are a block apart, that have a historic house in between. So this one we looked at, it was a young architect who just finished...
Oh, it's a new house.
It was his first project. It was a terrible house that was there, so they tore that down. And it was his first project as a professional, but it was for his mother or something like that.
It's pretty decent.
Yeah, they have the knee braces on the front have, they're like 4x12 glulams with a little tiny 4x4 knee brace. I mean, it's fine to have glulams inside, but they should have cut them out so they're 6-inch, 4x6 is outside. Other than that, all the rest of the detailing is pretty nice. So
it looks pretty nice.
Can I see? What are glulams?
Is that 533 Fairview, but it's also known as Union
They're glued
Union
together
Street,
beams.
Yeah, it's on the corner.
Yeah, it's on the corner.
Okay.
So that's glulams, those things?
Yeah.
Construction.
I think it's...
It has a good look.
Yeah, it's a new house, and God, we don't have much else this year.
So, you know, it's got bay windows, but they're modernized, you know, so... But it's...
Yeah, I don't think it's bad.
It's good materials and stuff. It's fine.
It would help out a fellow architect.
It's certainly a new, compatible construction. It's
right.
Not just,
but the other one is terrible.
Which
the
one?
The one on Fairview.
The 549?
549.
Yeah,
that one's terrible.
So that one, the owner happened to be there when we walked by, and I had to clamp my mouth not to say it. But on the front porch, so what they did is they have a combination of natural wood front porch with horizontal protection to fall off, and it looks kind of like a farm fence. So it's kind of farmhouse combination.
Yeah, no front window.
And the biggest thing is that there's a front door. The porch is only 4 feet. 4 feet deep. Are you guys looking at it?
Yeah.
Who got it?
And no front window.
The windows above are all casement, and there are a bunch of them. You know, they probably should have been double hung because the other kitchen windows are double hung. But there's no windows on the front porch. And that would be typically a living room.
Yeah.
And every porch you ever see has windows on the front porch.
And, you know, and this looks like a converted garage,
it does.
Right? Don't you think it does?
Yeah, probably the kitchen, but yeah.
And there's no big window.
Doesn't that look like that should be
that
broad?
Is weird.
It doesn't it?
Yeah, from distance. It could be a
garage. So you squint your eyes and it kind of fits in.
Yeah. I think that I think we should give Fairview an award.
533?
Yeah, 533, but not 4-9.
Look at the window. The window and the deck have a metal roof. The rest of it is...
And then a young architect put it on his resume.
Yeah, we want to encourage him.
Seeing the two roof pictures is different.
So how many do we have so far, Regan?
We have four.
Oh, that's pretty
cool. Possibly four.
Possibly four.
So we have Mark Knox down there.
So one of the senior planners suggested that you guys talk about it.
Yeah.
Giving him an award for 1068 East Main.
I don't like that.
Because he saved
He saved the house, but the paint job is horrible.
1068?
Is that really bright one? Blue or
blue and white trim.
I think we all walked through that one.
I don't like what they did to the inside. I don't think the outside's that bad.
Well, the outside didn't change much, but the inside, it was one of the principles of the project
ownership.
Next door, and they had so much fun doing contemporary interiors, and now it's for sale again.
It was hideous.
Who's going to, my office has it listed.
Like
who's going to buy that for over $1 million? It's down to $995. That's $1 million. And around all those ticky-tack new condos and things on that busy street, who is ever going to buy that for that
money? But we're just looking at the exterior.
Yeah.
So
we're not talking about the property. We're talking about an individual.
Giving Mark Knox an individual award.
They
did with it is move it forward.
I thought they were going to move it more, but somewhere else.
Then you go out the back door and run into the
I think he deserves credit certainly for keeping it.
I do too.
More condos in there.
I do too. But I actually think, Marcus does quite a bit.
He seemed, and that's the guy who gave us the tour.
Is it worth the awards?
Yeah.
I mean, especially for Mark. I mean, he was our historic.
He was a guy.
He used to work here in the city
for years and years.
Is that why the staff thinks we should take it seriously?
No, I didn't really talk. It was Derek that recommended it, and he just said just throw it out there and see what you think.
Yeah, I think he should.
You think he should get an individual award?
Well, he could have torn it down.
He could have. Yeah,
he could have torn it down. And two, he's often said when I've talked to Mark and Mark of Choice or wherever that he always thinks I keep thinking I want to try to get on the historic commission. I say you should do that.
He said that to me because
he would be a great addition to it. So I think because I was afraid that with that property being sold it would be
I lost. Wondered about that.
No, we all thought so.
So that means there's a consensus.
One owner, one family house until 2 years ago.
Oh, was it?
It's kind of sad.
It was owned by the original family that built it still.
Oh.
The Phillips.
I didn't remember that. Yeah, I think, don't you think he should get an award?
Not for that project, though. I don't think
for the project. Not for the project.
Well,
just
for saving
the house. Personal
award. Okay.
We're just talking about the house.
Regan?
The project.
Didn't Mark write up some of the rules about the historic guidelines?
I believe he had a hand in
that. The design standards?
I believe he did have a hand in that,
So he made
it there when we were creating historic district.
Right.
He what?
He was involved.
Oh, he had a big hand in it. Yeah.
So this person is, we're not just looking at what he's done with his house. He has a history throughout.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense then.
I would agree with that. Because that house myself.
He did what Maria does now for years.
I think that would be, in my opinion,
a good thing.
Mm-hmm. He asked me to be on the historic.
Well, are you happy?
I'm a happy person.
Right.
Okay,
we got through it.
So we have an individual, and we have.
And I'm going to send you photos of the Allison and Manzanita.
We got Manzanita.
10.5.
You've got five? County Mark?
Six, County Mark. Right.
Okay.
And
we should go down
our
list.
Yeah,
we should go down
Manzanita.
The list. Yeah. Okay.
Fairview is the other one.
So you're going to tell us what the properties are that we're saying?
are nominated?
Do you have an idea first, before we go over the final list? Did you have an idea for
specific? Specific. I said this, I think, last year. Next to Briscoe School, there's this walk that goes to the history of the Earth.
Yeah.
And, you know, some
history
of the kids have worked on it.
Pardon? Europe? The history of
Earth.
Of the Earth from the beginning and all the different periods. And, you know, they have, like, shells from, you know, the Devonian, you know, all kinds of things. It's really interesting. I don't know. I would go look at it.
Some class
for those who aren't familiar with it.
Did some class do it, then?
Pardon?
Some class from Briscoe School do it?
Did the classes at school?
I don't know if the school participated in it. I don't know what their job was.
But I think it might be Len Eisenberg's project. He's a geologist here in town.
Could have been.
Oh.
And he donated the climbing through history at the Science Works Museum. There's a big climbing wall that takes you through geologic time.
Interesting.
And so I'm guessing that this project at Briscoe is probably Len Eisenberg, but I don't know that for sure.
It's well done. Raise your hand if you've seen it.
I saw just the top of it.
I haven't seen it.
It's very interesting and well done.
Yeah, I've seen it.
And how historic is it? Just because it's in a historic district and that's kind of fun?
Well, it goes back eons. My God, how historic do you want it?
Oh, I see. Is it over 50 years?
When was it installed?
And it is the site of the Skidmore Academy, which the district's named after. Now, that's where it was a normal school.
But anyway, I threw it out last year, didn't get much response. Looks like this year it's not going to get much response.
That's because we're tired.
That's all right.
So how about Beverly goes by and takes a picture of that?
Yeah.
It's a big area, you know.
It's
a great sidewalk that curves.
Yeah.
You can take a video of it.
I can do a video.
Okay. And
walk back in time.
And especially since, you know, we're doing the bronze things, that's
true.
Someone did only of the history of the Earth.
And you don't know how long it was installed, how long ago?
No.
Okay.
There may be a little plaque.
Yeah, I'll do my due diligence.
They come all the way to the present.
Yeah, and worms are there, whoever was here first. That.
So if you're going to work your way back to this commission,
thank you very much. Brutal, isn't it? You can tell we've worked
that
together.
Is that one of the things we just signed here that we're not supposed to say?
Yes.
Oh. Lawsuits are happening.
So
recorder's still going.
Are we at the point, Regan? I did sign that.
You can just pass it this way, yep. And I'll take it. Whoever wants to sign, I'll take it. And then if you don't want to sign it now,
I signed it.
I can take them at a later date. I would prefer you get, like
now.
Yeah.
Within the next week.
So by signing that, what does that really mean? That we read that and we understand?
No, it means that you received.
Acknowledgement of receipt.
Yeah, that's all
okay.
It was.
That's
I got
what
him.
It means.
Okay,
so
I just wanted to make sure.
Regan, can we go through the properties that we selected?
Yeah, can I tell you guys what I have?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then just holler if I didn't have it right. So okay. I have 147 Central.
Check.
692B.
Check.
103 Manzanita with a question mark.
Yep.
Check.
533 Fairview.
Check.
Mark Knox.
Yep.
That's what
and
I
then
got.
Potentially Briscoe School
okay.
with a question mark.
So I have to really just get Manzanita photo and, of course, my new responsibility.
No, the Briscoe School. You should.
I should. And then I can see it for myself.
Whoever hasn't seen it should go out there.
Yeah.
And look at it.
But I think Manzanita's our only property.
Okay,
right?
So let's keep the pictures of the ones that we have.
No, we have
Alice.
Carrie
Gelgado. No.
No, Carrie.
Oh yes, that one. Is that
central,
one on that
list?
Okay, sorry.
Okay, so you're going to give us that picture.
Yes.
We've got the Fairview picture. We need to get Mark Knox's too. We don't need it now because we know.
I can get that picture. Just.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going out.
Or he can send me one too if he has one.
Mark?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I think I did that last year with Peter Hinkle when he got an award. Well, he sent me one.
Well, he's going to take them all anyway.
It's always that hassle getting the picture of the person.
Don't leave. I've got something to...
Oh, I could ask him if he doesn't have one that he wants to come in.
Because it's not a picture of the house.
Maybe he can come in on Thursday and meet you.
Yeah.
Meet with you. Because
it's an individual award we're talking about.
Right. Not the house.
Not the house.
Correct.
So the...
Yeah, that makes sense.
So you want the photos of the winners?
Yeah. So this is one. Which is the other one? Any of these others? You're going to give us. I mean,
Central Avenue.
Central B.
Uh-huh.
And Manzanita.
But you're going to go out later on and take more pictures,
right.
Correct, Terry?
Yes.
So I don't need pictures
now. Now, did you say I have three houses?
Central.
We send them all.
Oh. I know I should do that. God, it's so embarrassing that I would forget.
Just send them to me, and then I'll send them out, and then you guys can decide.
So
yeah.
In terms of write-up.
Oh, right.
Do we want to get them by the next meeting? Or do we start writing the section?
You can decide...
What's best for you?
The problem is I need to pull the plans for each project and research who's getting the awards, like the contractor,
so the more time the better.
So
it would help you.
And then I can send whoever's writing the blurbs all the information.
Okay.
And then I have to send out the letters to the people.
Okay. Do you want to give us the deadline?
Decide then who's...
Yes, I would appreciate it if you guys could decide tonight or even in the next couple of days and let me know.
Well, we can do it now or next meeting, so...
No.
In favor now? Or
yeah.
Let's just do it now then.
Do you have the planning action photo?
What's that one?
This one is for the planning action thing.
Oh, I'll take it.
Yeah. There you go. We're making a decision about who's going to write a narrative that goes with the award.
Right.
Okay.
And what that blurb involves is actually like going to the site, maybe calling the people and meeting with them and talking about
I'll do that one for the woman who's a landscape person.
The other thing is we could do them. A couple of us can do them together, only because
sure, because there's only a few.
So Bev,
Ellen, and
I was thinking Beverly and I could do one.
Okay.
And then would you want to work with somebody then? And that
sure,
would be all
whoever
fun.
Or whomever.
Okay.
I need to pick somebody? I don't know.
Well, maybe pick a blurb or a property that interests you too.
Oh gosh, I don't even know.
Let's see, what would be a good time?
Maybe CD. I don't know.
So I
want to do the
549 Fairview. So we'll do that one.
Wait, you
want to do Carrie Kincaid?
Yeah. Can we do that one?
Sure.
Or we do one only, I assume.
Because there's only a couple.
Hey, do you want to do that, Carrie Kincaid?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which one is that?
It's on...
Manzanita. I mean...
Central.
147 Central.
Okay, I would...
But if you'd rather do another one...
Well, Sam, you're going to be out of town, right?
Yeah, I'm not volunteering because we only have. I always do have done it, but I'm going to be out of town a month.
We could do two if two of us are together.
About a month.
Do you have an excuse?
And I'm not coming. I'm going to be gone like from the 22nd of March to the 16th of April, and so.
Would you mind doing the next 2 weeks?
Do what?
Doing one. Write it up in the next 2 weeks. 3 weeks or whatever you got?
Yeah, I guess I could. Okay. If
are we doing two people together? Because I'll go
with you.
You
want
to do it with Sam?
Sure.
Okay. You guys can look at it, talk about the details.
And what are we doing?
I don't care. Do you want to do
533
Fairview?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. I kind of like to do the more modern one on the corner just because it would be a little departure.
Okay.
So does somebody want to do the one on Central? That's...
I don't want to do that one.
You're doing Meat Street?
Okay. Well, he's involved.
He worked on it.
I had minor involvement with it.
For Carrie Kincaid?
Yeah.
Why don't I just do it alone, that one? Because I'm the only one interested.
Yeah, if you want to do it, do it.
Hey, Dale?
Wait.
You should be able to.
I just said.
Everybody wants to do the.
You know, I want to meet this woman.
She wants to be the central
one. She's been on. Yeah, I can do that by myself. And then we'll go the modern one together.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, because I'm
volunteering. Who's doing Mark?
Oh, yeah, who's doing Mark?
Really. Okay, wait, you're doing B Street? You guys are both doing B Street together.
I'll talk to Mark.
I was going to do Fairview. What, now
if I got to do one.
Are you going to do
you guys decide and then Fairview? Oh, yeah.
No.
I don't care which one. Someone just give me one. And Sam and I will do it.
I thought we already had one.
Yeah, I thought you did.
But then he just said he
would. I thought you had.
Dale, can't you do it together?
Better than I can do it together.
Okay.
Are you? Were you talking about Fairview and Union?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one I had down, so Sam and I should do another one.
The new house.
The new one.
Right.
Yeah, we'll interview the architect.
Thanks, Steve.
No, that is.
Do you guys want to do that? Fine.
Okay.
You guys
want to
do that one?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
And then we'll do it.
And anybody else?
Yeah. No, we're going to get them all done. Tom, what one do you want to do? You don't want it?
No, I want to be.
You want to do?
You're going to be out of town. I'm going to be out of my mind.
Is that all?
There. What are you talking about?
I'd be willing to attempt the Briscoe School thing if
early on to our
if that goes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, let's do it.
Let's do the Briscoe School thing.
Research the Briscoe School.
Yeah.
Pardon?
We're researching the Briscoe School project.
We were.
Okay, so no. Manzanita, I mean, Central is done, Fairview is done.
Mm-hmm.
You were going to do which one? Central? We're doing Central.
So I don't know.
Okay, so there's two more. There's three more.
I'm doing Mark.
You're going to do Mark? Okay.
Oh, good idea.
Okay, and then... you want to do B Street, 692 B Street? Which one was that? What was that one look like?
That's the rear first floor addition and remodel. The Rinaldis are the owners, and the Downey Company did the work.
Oh, yeah, that's a nice one.
So you're going to send us the information.
Okay, no, because I don't know who's doing what. So you guys, when you're all done, call me and I'll go down.
So Bill, do you want to do that?
So it's 692
B Street. And Central, we've got us. Okay.
Wait. I've got Keith writing Mark Knox's. Right. And then 147 Central is Beverly and you.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we're also doing Fairview. Oh, shut
and
up.
Then Manzanita.
Nobody's doing that.
Well, we can wait on Manzanita if you guys
can
wait. Yeah,
the picture is coming. Yeah.
Do you know Manzanita one?
I will not do Manzanita. Yeah. There's a personality conflict between the owners and myself.
And what is that?
I'm not doing that.
Oh, it's the contemporary garage.
It's the garage.
That is kind of compatible.
I don't think it should get an award. But
so you don't think it should get an award?
Well, I don't like the looks of the structure.
Okay, let's not give it an award then.
But, I mean, it's not up to me.
I know, but he's feeling like it was a little too contemporary and too modern. Too artsy, and you felt the same, so maybe it's not.
I liked it.
They were trying to compare.
Because it was compatible.
Yeah. But it's whether we want to do it or not.
Well,
yeah, well, let's see the photos.
That's amazing.
You don't want to wait till.
Well, we have to decide.
Really? I'd say if it's a maybe, no. If we don't have the photos and we don't know what it looked like, and we have to decide.
And he has had an award before, right?
Yeah, they got an award for the cottage,
okay,
which
let's
I
not,
think
let's
is
not, let's
much
not
nicer.
Okay. I mean, we parked in front of it and we went, well,
yeah.
Okay.
The colors are weird is what I thought.
Okay, so
do we have enough to give
so
them
we're
going to
have four awards then.
I think that's fine, no? Don't you?
We're going to have five.
Five.
Right? Briscoe? Is Briscoe on the list?
No. You want to do Briscoe?
That's
do Briscoe.
I will write it, but...
Okay, just do Briscoe. Just do it.
I think Briscoe.
You brought it up for 2 years.
I like
it's
that.
It's been haunting me for the year.
I'm sure.
And Briscoe is going to be our next fight, folks.
Oh, is it?
After the city hall to
really?
Preserve.
Oh, you think? Really?
Okay, you got it on?
Oh, okay.
No. 692B3, who's doing that one?
Oh, I thought
I
Bill
think I
is.
Have that.
And then Fairview is Ellen and
Sam.
Sam.
Okay.
It's been fun tonight, huh?
Who said that they knew who the, were you talking about the class, the person who did it, did the same thing at the Science Works?
It was Bill. Mm-hmm. Eisenberg is his name.
Len Eisenberg.
First name?
Len.
Len.
At the university. I've read, isn't he the one that talked about that this is, City Hall is not actually seismically vulnerable?
You might have his contact information.
It sounds
familiar.
Yeah, he doesn't
think
it's in danger.
He does not think it's in danger.
He built the house.
The house on granite, yeah.
Okay, I've got one more fun fact.
Okay.
And I have something to say. Go ahead.
I had a question. On Fairview, what address is that?
533 Fairview.
Dale was going to do that.
Also known as Union.
Yeah.
But I took it away from Dale.
They took it away.
They took it away. Okay.
Yep. Sam and I are going to
crazy.
Yeah, crazy.
Okay, so Sam has a comment.
Okay, it's not a comment. It's a question. And the question is, next weekend I am invited to a housewarming party at the DeBoers.
Oh.
I mean, is everybody jealous or what?
Yes,
can we are. Can we
okay, so this is my question.
Yes.
And I had said, I'm taking, of course, my husband, and we are going. But, you know, I've known the DeBoers for 50 years. And anyway, we're not best friends, but I do know them. So I said that I would ask Brian about having, because the Historic Commission wanted to see the house. But all this stuff we just signed tonight and things,
yeah.
if we are, I was thinking of, since I won't be here in April, and I know them, that I was thinking maybe we could do it just before the May meeting. But does that constitute
no.
a public meeting, and do we have to open it up to the public?
No.
No.
It's not discussing any business, right?
First of all, nobody. We don't invite anybody. They just know of our meeting, and so it's like when we went up to the
but Maria
power
could
plant.
Answer.
You know, it's just like we meet a little before our meeting, we go.
We had to put it on the agenda, though.
That's fine.
For 1068, when we went to 1068.
Right, but nobody's going to ask to come along. It's
so
that's fine. That'd be great.
Okay.
Can I bring somebody?
No.
Oh, boy, I'm going to get a lot of trouble for that. Come on, Sam.
But you can hold your camera here.
I mean, when I got the invitation, I was like, ah!
Yeah.
I think
lucky me.
Yeah. I think that people brought others to the 1068 East Main. So I guess I would, I don't know how to answer that. I think we should.
Well, he's the
I could ask Maria.
What?
Whether people could be, you can invite a guest. That's the question.
Yeah, I
no, we should not invite
friends. No,
is that the question?
No. It's I just feel like it could.
It's a public meeting.
Yeah, I can't remember how Fotini and I addressed it.
Well, that's what I was asking about.
If we're putting it on the agenda, it's going out to the public.
That's fine.
Couldn't he just ask us as individual people, and we just happen to be showing up in the same place?
Four of us can't even have coffee together.
Oh.
It's a house tour, not unlike the power plant tour that we went on.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Exactly
and
what
we're
it would be.
We're not talking about commission business. We're getting a tour of a home that we gave
that
an award
to. That we gave an
to.
Award to last year.
I don't
yeah.
see a conflict.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try to set it up.
Okay, if you can do it, that'd be great. Okay, the last thing is, when I was speaking last night, Kathy Shaw was next to me. What did she talk about? The ownership of the city hall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
belongs to the Hargadine family if they
no,
don't
the
use it.
Belongs to the Abel Hellman family.
Yeah, Abel Hellman.
If we move out.
Hellman. That's right. Okay.
But now, so we're going to see if Terry really knows this or not. What she found. And I may have misunderstood.
It was pretty interesting.
But the other part of that is what's included in that property? Yeah. Shakespeare Outdoor Festival.
The theater. Shakespeare Outdoor Theater.
Well, because it was the Chautauqua.
It's a big lot.
It's the Chautauqua.
So it was like, wouldn't that be a mess?
She had a map of it. She had a map of it.
I don't wonder where she found out.
But I also know.
She did a bunch of research and she found a Hellman.
Did she find a Hellman?
Yeah, later.
Oh, because the last I heard, they hadn't been able to find.
She found one, she says, and there's more.
Does she always bring her dog?
Oh, I'm sure.
She better keep that city hall.
When she testified, she had her dog in her lap. Does she always bring the dog?
Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Who
Kathy
was it?
Shaw.
No. She
was a great man.
Yeah, I heard that.
She was a great man.
Shakespeare.
Yeah, they don't
Don't you think so?
Oh, my goodness.
It's really amazing.
So, how do we get Kathy? It'd be fun to see that.
To see that.
Kathy Shaw's. Could you find Kathy Shaw's email and send it to us?
Probably Derek has it.
Yeah, that was pretty. And she did it that day, she said. I don't know where she found it that fast.
Yeah. Good meeting.
It was a big meeting.
Well, I hope Maria feels bad.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope she hasn't got the coronavirus.
Well, we should. Yes, that tested. No. I think the coronavirus symptoms are not even there yet.
Thank you. Everybody have a good night. Stay healthy.
Thank you.
Beverly?
Those are great. So Allison got her neighborhood first. So I want the next project to be Skidmore Academy.
And I think they decided they were going to finish out the railroad district. Because it's the most well-trafficked.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Are you going that direction? Get a ride.
Good night.
Okay, see ya. So, Terry, where are you going to go tonight?
The library.
Okay.
I'm hardly walking. I said so long.
What time did you put down? What time did you put down?
8:32. Is that when we adjourned? I can look at the recording.
No, I'm just joking.
Yeah, the reflections on that clock, you can't see them at this end.
Done with that?
Yeah. There's something to review for tomorrow for the review board.
There is stuff for review, yeah. Including the one for 145 North Main.
Are you walk over here?
Yep.
Okay.